Tuned in to the voice of the gospel, beaming the gospel in three states to over 100,000 listeners. 70,000 watts of continuous gospel power. KAYT-FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nacogdoches. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. I have a word from the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter number 7. Chapter 7, and we will parade and peruse the periphery of verse 1 through 11 and verse 17 through 19. I believe that there is a word from the Lord for us. Amen. Amen. It's talking about Elisha. Some people like to call him Elisha. Amen. But I call him Elisha. Amen. It's a good text. It's a good text. So when you have 2 Kings and you're looking at chapter 7, verse 1, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. We're going to read verse 1 through 11, and then together in concert, we will read verse 17, 18, 19. Better yet, let's read 16, 17, 18, and 19. How about that? Amen. Verse 1 says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus say the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, in whose hand of the king leaned upon, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come into the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and noise of horses, even the noise of the great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they went into the tent, to one of the tents, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they say one to another, we do not well. This day is a good day of good tidings, and we hold our peace, and we tarry till the morning light. Some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and told them, saying, we came into the camp of the Syrians. Behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, asses tied, and tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it into the king's house within. Let's go down to verse number 16 in concert. Let's read it. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord, in whose hand it leaned, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken unto the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that the Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod him upon him in the gate, and he died. Amen. Amen. That don't sound too good, but it is good. Amen. That he died. Amen. So we read all of that because God has a word. Amen. He has a word. Amen. I want to use for a title and thought on the topic for tonight, a message of hope in a hopeless situation. All right. Subtitle, won't he do it? Won't he? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, won't he do it? Amen. God is good. He is good. He will do it. Amen. If we trust him, he'll do it. This text is chosen tonight by the Holy Spirit because there's some people tonight that may have fallen into a hopeless situation, or maybe you're looking at where you are and you've reached the middle of your life and you're saying, you know, I don't know if I am where I should be, or I'm not where I want to be. And you start to feel hopeless about some things. Maybe you're young and you're just trying to get your life on track and you don't know what to do. And now you start to feel hopeless. But if you ever felt hopeless and unable to handle a situation because of something that has happened, something that has aroused in your life, and it feels that you've been overwhelmed and you have a sense of despair and grief, or even a sense of desperation, the fact is that you have circumstances that happens in your life that sometimes you don't really want to deal with, or you can't cope with, and some problems may happen, and it grips you, and it seems as though it paralyzes you, and you don't feel as though you're moving in the direction that you need to go in. Amen. Seems like you're totally out of control, but I admonish you today to trust God, because he is still in control. There's wonderful news for people who face hopeless situations, is that God always is in control. No matter what happens to us, we need to know that God loves us. Amen. We need to understand that he cares for us and he wants to help us. Come on and say amen. There's even a scripture that says that we ought to cast our cares upon him, because he what? Cares for us. Amen. The word care in that text means that God will provide for us whenever we put our cares on him. Amen. And so there's good news for us that God, in dramatic fashion in this text, he shows us that he will deliver on time. I know somebody said that he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. You know, that really means that God comes when he gets ready, and when he gets ready, it's no better time than when God comes, because you know that it seemed like sometime our back is against the wall. It seems sometime that there's no hope, but then God somehow brings us to a place of hope. And you know what I always say, I quote the scripture, that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed, meaning that God will not disappoint us. And so no matter what your situation, God will not disappoint you. Amen. Let's look at the dilemma here. The dilemma that they are in is a dilemma that they are starving, they're under siege, they're in a famine, they seem to now have become faithless in their situation. You know how things seem like they happen and it gets worse, and then you say, well, it just seemed like the only hope we got is a prayer, and then sometime our prayer, we don't feel like it's going to be answered, and it's bouncing off the glass ceiling that is above us. But here's the children of Israel. They had been invaded. Basically, the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, he had been raiding along the borders, and he had been taking some stuff from Israel, but now he got greedy. He decided that I don't want to just get a little bit. I want to take the capital of Israel, which is Samaria, which was the northern kingdom. He said, I want to take that because I want everything. I don't want just a little bit. You know how the devil is. He mess with you on this, and he take a little bit of that, and he kind of take a little bit of your happiness, but you say, I still got joy. He take a little bit of your finances, but you say, I got something for the rainy day. But then he wants it all. All of a sudden, and what this enemy did is just what the devil does us. He surrounded them. Surrounded them in the place that they thought was a stronghold. Right. You know, you get in a place where you think that surely the devil won't bother me in this area of my life, but he still bothers you in that area that you say, I'm strong in. Oh, come on and say amen here. You say you're strengthening forgiveness, and then somebody mess with you and you don't want to forgive them. Lord have mercy. You say that you're strengthened in loving folk, and then people make it difficult for you to love, and all you're trying to do is show them the love of God, and you sometimes want to give up on them. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so he had mobilized his army, and he began to surround them. And some of what the siege that he brought on them, it caused a picture of hopelessness and depravity, because not only did they have a famine going on, but they couldn't even go send for food, send for water, or anything. They had to wait. And hopefully their resources, hopefully something would happen. They had to wait on God. So the first effect of the siege was that they had famine. They had starvation. Because people began to see that the food source was getting low. And the people who had a little bit, they said, well, let me get greedy. And they inflated the prices. So much so, they said that you could buy the head of a donkey for 2 ounces of silver. Amen. Who wants to eat the head of a donkey? Oh, come on and say amen here. Not only that, these black market prices, you can buy a cup of Dove's dung for 2 ounces of silver. Dove's dung. They had gotten to the point that they were desperate. Anybody ever been desperate? We sometimes get desperate in our life, and you know, our desperation may be a little different than their desperation. But we've been so desperate that some of us, we filed bankruptcy, we borrowed money, we've asked money, we've done some desperate things. Come on and say amen. We have just about done everything that we can do so that we can stay afloat. Come on and say amen. That's what you call desperation. These people were more desperate than we can even imagine, because we live in America and we can't imagine the desperation that these people were under, that they were looking for people who were scooping up Dove's dung so that they can get a little bit of something that might match up to some nutrition in their life. Now let me bring that to us today. We are under siege by the devil. He does not want us to get the word of God. He does not want us, because if we get it, then we'll have some strength. See, what Syria was doing, they seized them so they wouldn't have strength enough to fight. They were waiting on them to get so weak that all we got to do is go push the gate open and the people will run out to us and we can have the city. And that's what the enemy do. He will wait you out sometimes. That's why the scriptures say that the enemy is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What does a lion do? A lion will sit all day and he'll be in the brush just like this, just waiting. He'll lie in wait and wait for you to make a mistake, and then he will chase you down to destroy you. Amen. That's why it's always good, if you ever watch the Discovery Channel, you find that they always stay with the flock. If it's a gazelle, or if it's some type of water buffalo, or whatever it is, they always stay with the company because there's safety in the multitude. But I don't understand how Christians are so brilliant and bright that we ain't even smarter than animals. Because we think that we can go off and do it by ourselves. We think that we can separate from the flock. We can separate from the fold and we can make it. You can't make it by yourself. That's why he gave us to be members of one another. He said we are the body of Christ. Every one of us ought to supply. Each joint ought to supply through love and compact together. We ought to come together in love. And when we come together in love and supply love, then the body is healthy and the body is strong. And we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But how can we stand against the wiles when we want to separate? Okay, separate your arm or your shoulder from the rest of your body. You know that's painful. And it handicaps you. And we could be much stronger if we did things together, but yet we want to do things separate. I don't understand, and I, you know, and this is me. I'm just talking, okay? I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. I don't understand the neighborhood of our community. I'll just say that, Christian community, because sometimes the separation is not just in the people. The separation most of the time is in the preachers. I'm one. I can say that. And because we separate each other, and because this preacher don't like that preacher, and we're not going to fellowship with that church, we have become weakened, and that is why our community see as much crime as it do. That is why our community see as much poverty as it does right now. That is why our community suffer, because we got too much pride and envy and hatred and bitterness among those who are leading us. Amen anyway. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right on that one. I'm confident I'm right in that. And so the devil has took us and surrounded us, because they know sooner or later ain't no help coming. Ain't no sooner or later that we'll get weak enough that we'll just start to put down our standards and start doing what everybody else does. We'll do whatever it takes to survive. I'm going to talk to you about it in a minute. They did whatever it took to survive. The blockade brought about atrocities that were so unimaginable. I mean, these things were such as cannibalism. If you read in 2 Kings chapter 6, around verse 26, you'll find that the king was walking on the wall, and he was just kind of looking to see what was going on. And this woman called up to him and said, "King, I need you in a matter." He said, "What was it?" He said, "I need help," she said. And he said, "Woman, I really can't help you." He said, "What? Do I have anything in the barn?" He said, "I'm not able to grow nothing. I ain't able to give you nothing." He said, "God need to help us. If God would help us." He kind of was contentious with God, because he was feeling the pain too. And so the woman said, "Well, yesterday this woman said, 'Let's boil and eat out my son.' And I boiled and ate, and we ate ours, my son. But now today," she said, "that she hid her son, because she said we were going to eat him today. But now she don't want to hold up her end of the bargain." See, people, when you become desperate, when the enemy has surrounded you, you begin to do stuff that you would not have done if it wasn't for the enemy's presence in your camp. Amen here. Amen. And so she cried out to the king, and the king, even though the king Joram was a little bit, he was a little wicked, he was a little weird, he still felt in his heart sorrow because of what the people was doing, and he rent his kingly vestures, and they saw that he had sackcloth on underneath. In other words, he was in mourning, and he was hoping that God would pay him some attention, but he was thinking that God ain't doing nothing, so we might as well give up. You know how it is. You think God's not going to do it. You think God is not going to do it? Sometime in our emotions, we act just like the king. We say, if God will, he ain't going to, you know, he not going to do nothing. He ain't done nothing all this time. You ate your baby. We don't have no food. We're scooping up doves dung. All of this stuff. And we don't have nothing going for ourselves because of the presence of the enemy. When things are at a standstill, you need to check and see who's around you. Amen now. The third effect of this blockade was terrible because he was blaming, the king was blaming not only God, but he said, I'm mad with the prophet too. He said, I want to cut his head off because the reason why this is happening, first off, is because he said something. Second, his prayers ain't being answered or he faking about praying. So he was mad with the preacher. Lord have mercy. You know how it is. Can I talk to y'all today? You get mad with the preacher when things don't go your way. I need my tithe money back because if I wouldn't have been given that, I wouldn't have to give up my car. If I wouldn't have been given my offering, I wouldn't have to worry about my house being in foreclosure. You know what I'm saying? You're mad with the preacher, and he didn't do you nothing. I don't want that prayer. Rev, I don't want to hear all that right now. I need some action. I don't need the prayer. I done prayed. You know how we do? We get upset with the preacher. We want to cut his head off. He even sent an assassin to kill Elisha. And Elisha was meeting with the elders, and he knew the Spirit of God was so with him. He knew that there was an assassin, and they held him up. And they said, he locked the door, wouldn't let him in. And then they held him up, and he was able to escape that. And then, so even his attempt to assassinate didn't work because Elisha, God made him aware of everything that was going on, even though the situation was happening. The person who talks to God the most will not panic because they know exactly what's going on. They know that God is still in control. They know that God can and that he will deliver in his time and in his season. He knew that. And so when you talk to God more than you look at what the circumstance is, more than when you look at how bad the situation is, if you talk to God more and you stay on your knees, you pray, you get in God's face, you read his word, and you trust him, the one person that was trusting God knew that God was going to work it out. See, we got to get to a point to where we trust God. If you feel hopeless in a situation, know that God is not too far away. He said in his word in Isaiah, he said, my hand is not short that I cannot save, nor is my ear heavy that I cannot hear. But you need to check yourself. It is the iniquity that you have that separates us. And I don't want to be separated. I want to be close to you. This is what God is saying. So the dilemma, it was pretty bad. They had forsaken God, and they turned away from him and denied him. As a result, they had sunk to so low that they were eating their children. They had corruption, and they were in a hopeless situation. And many, the reason why they were being under siege is because they had become idol worshipers. Now, let me talk about idol worshipers. Maybe I should. We do a lot of idol worship in this day, and we don't even recognize it. We worship the creature more than the creator. We worship people, celebrities. We worship stuff, vehicles, homes, and clothes, and purses, and hats, and whatever, shoes. We worship that more than we do the creator. Yeah. Oh, you say, no, I don't. Because, yeah, you do. Yeah, we do. We do. Because we put more of our time and money into those things than we do into God's program. Amen. Y'all can be quiet. It's all right. Quietness don't bother me at all. We will go stand in line for 3 hours and spend $250 on a pair of Air Jordans for our children. But we can't sit an hour and a half in church. Oh, I'm telling you, we will exit us before the invitation is given. Y'all can say amen now. Yeah, I'm telling you, if we check the roll, how many of us has given $250 in the entire year? All right. To the church. Lord, have mercy now. I'm just telling you, I'm holding the mirror up. If you don't like it, I can't help it. It's what you look like. Say it. Amen. And you can't get mad at me for what you look like. Lord have mercy. But we spend more on vehicles. If your vehicle costs $13,000 and you haven't given that in the last 10 years in church, then shame on you. And that's a cheap vehicle. And we'll pay $20 for somebody to wash it, but we won't give but a dollar at church. Preach. I am. Preaching better than you saying amen right now. Yeah. We idol worshipers. But what happened to the idol worshipers? They were under siege because they had forgotten who it was that blessed them. And when God blesses us, he's blessed you with the money to buy the $250 Jordans. He's blessed you with the time to stand in line and the legs to be able to bear and stand in those 4-inch heels all day long. He's blessed you with the ability to do it. He's blessed you with the money and the credit to be able to go. And sometimes your credit can't get it. But God blesses you to where you can even get the vehicle and pay for it every month. And you still won't give him praise. You still won't give him praise. Still won't rejoice in the Lord and in the power of his might. Maybe you didn't come tonight for this. I know you didn't come for this tonight. But this is revival. And the only way we can get revived is to burn off some old junk. Some stuff that's holding us down. Some stuff that's in our way. Come on and say amen now. So there was a dilemma here. And there's, we find out that after this, Elijah spoke a word. He said that tomorrow. Now, here's the problem here with many. When God speaks a word, God's word always precedes the strong move that he's going to do. All right. But the problem with us is that we won't hear his word because we are traditional. You know what the Bible says? There's one thing in the world, one thing in the earth realm that is stronger than the word of God. He said the tradition of men have made the word of God of none effect. God's word is ineffective because we hear it and then we don't hear it. We keep our traditions. Oh, we got to go to the next thing on the program. We know, preacher, you shouldn't be preaching more than 15, 20 minutes. Get out of the way. You know, we're so keyed in on our tradition that we miss what God's word said. And his word will always precede a great move. Amen. Now we can praise God and say, "Ooh, God was in here." Everybody can run up and down the aisles, and we can flip the pews over, and we can scream and holler, "God was in here." But if God is in here, he's gonna speak to us. God is more polite than we are. You get mad if somebody come in the room and don't speak to you. God is much better than we are, and he'll speak to us just like that. He'll come in the room and say something. He's saying something right now to somebody. Amen. Now. So let's look at this. Let's look at the delusion that God. So we got the Assyrians outside of the camp. And you got the Israelites inside of the wall because they're afraid of the Assyrians because they can't fight them because they're getting weaker and weaker by the day. Whenever you don't get that word, whenever you don't get the proper nutrition in your life spiritually, you get weaker and weaker and you are no match for the devil. You are no match for him. I'm telling you, you can't even bear the armor that you're supposed to put on. That's why some people, they can't say, "I can't even pray. I can't even speak a word." Why? Because you can't hold the sword up. Because you've gotten too weak to hold it. Lord have mercy. Oh, come on and say amen. Now, and so here it is. You got them inside. You got the Syrians outside. But in between the Syrians and in between the Israelites, on the outside the gate, you got lepers. People that nobody want to fool with. People that nobody want to deal with. People who are beggars. People who ain't got much. People who will do anything to get what they need. People who they say because of their leprosy, because of their sin, they have leprosy now. And that's the way the Israelites believe. You must have did something. That's why you sick. Amen. And it could have very well been. But they were outside of the city, but they were still alive. Isn't this something? How God will preserve whoever he will. God will rain on the just as well as the unjust. We try to tell God who to bless. God say, "I bless whoever I want to bless. I keep whoever I want to keep," because he had a plan.